Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. This is Rose. And today I'm going to first have the story for the children. Now, parents, you won't want to go too far away. This story lasts about 4 minutes. We're going to be talking today with Phil Cook about using media to engage and forward the story that God has given you to tell the world. But first, the story for the children is called Robbers in My Church by Sharon Titus. The abrupt entrance of two men through the swinging doors distracted the congregation from the sermon that Sabbath morning. Dressed in long black trench coats and black hats with nylon stockings pulled down over their faces, they stood silently at the rear of the church, each one holding a gun in ready position. Glancing at our pastor standing at the pulpit and seeing the grim look on his face, we knew that this was for real. The two men were no ordinary visitors. "What is it that you want?" inquired our pastor in a surprisingly controlled voice. In clear, clipped words, the orders were given. "We want each of you to walk slowly, row by row, to the rear and drop your wallets in a pile on the floor." All around the church, people began slipping money out of their wallets and purses and into songbooks, Bibles, and pockets until a loud voice demanded, "Get your hands up, all of you!" "Please, Lord," we prayed silently, "protect us from these men." It seemed as though our pastor's unfinished sermon on the last day events and the end of the world was being illustrated altogether too vividly. How could anyone dare to rob an entire congregation as these two men were doing? We all wondered what would happen next. Suddenly, one of the gunmen commanded, "I want everyone to sing really loud." And sing we did. At first, it was rather weak, but soon our voices swelled with the music of, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." By this time, the pile of wallets on the floor had become fairly large, and one gunman was stuffing the money into a bag while the other kept us covered with his gun. "Reverend, where's the telephone?"
"It's there in the pastor's study," he replied, pointing to his left.
"Okay, I'm going to cut the wires, but I need someone to go with me as a hostage." His eyes scanned the audience, sending chills of fear down our backs as we wondered who would be the one to go.
Our pastor slowly turned and faced the choir. "Jim, will you go?" he asked. Jim, a tall, well-built man, rose to his feet and replied, "Yes, I'll go."
"Reverend, this man is too big for me," objected the gunman. Then, pointing his finger at Jim's small 9-year-old daughter, Teresa, he said, "I'll take this little girl here."
A gasp of horror escaped from our lips as Teresa's mother stood to her feet and sobbed,
"No, no, not my little girl."
Then from the opposite side of the church, Teresa's 12-year-old cousin, Ricky, raised his hand. The men nodded and Ricky stood up and walked swiftly down the carpeted aisle, followed closely by the gunmen. They entered the pastor's small study and closed the door. Slowly, slowly, the seconds slipped by as we prayed silently for Ricky's protection. Finally, the door opened and Ricky returned to his seat. Again, the gunmen ordered us to sing and one of them slipped out the back door. Almost before we knew it, the other was gone too. Then everyone began talking at once.
"Hurry, let's call the police. Someone, go chase them. Can you believe this is really happening to us?"
Two men rushed into the study and held the cut ends of the telephone wires together, and in just a few minutes the police were swarming into the church. But the gunmen had made their getaway. After the police questioned us and searched for fingerprints and any other evidence, we were permitted to leave the church. What an eventful Sabbath it was. We could see how God's protecting hand had been over us, and as we counted our blessings, each of us thanked Him for His care. Days went by, and it seemed that the robbery story had come to an end. Then one day, something strange happened. As our pastor was sorting his mail, he picked up an envelope addressed in neat printing. He opened it, and out fell a large sum of money. Quickly, he read the enclosed note. Could it really be? Yes, he had read it correctly. It was from the gunman who had robbed our church. We are sorry for all the trouble we caused you. Please pray for us. And pray we did. Isn't that a wonderful story? Well, we're going to go right into our interview now that I had with Phil Cook, and you are going to so appreciate the energy that this man brings to this interview and also about the topic. Phil Cook, and he is a producer. You've been producing media programming, and you've done it in nearly 50 countries.
That's right.
I don't know how that works. Do they translate it into different languages?
I travel a lot.
Okay. In the process, it says you've been shot. You've survived two military coups. You've fallen out of a helicopter. Now, how does one fall out of a helicopter?
Well, you know what? It's a long story. But let's just say I was roped in. I was filming an event in Jamaica. And it was a helicopter that I had to borrow because they didn't have one for filming. And we took the door off. I was sitting on the side, and they roped me in. But I didn't realize there was a couple loops in the rope. And so when he tilted to go out over the Kingston Bay, I just went out. And fortunately, I was dangling by the rope. But all I could think of was keep the shot in focus.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, you do what you have to do.
Okay, so in Africa, you were threatened with prison. Phew. So tell me about that.
Well, we work a lot with nonprofit organizations, a lot of ministries, a lot of nonprofit organizations doing difficult work in difficult places. We just got back from, we sent a team to Colombia shooting a medical outreach. This is Cook Pictures, yeah, our production company in Burbank, California, Cook Pictures. And we've been involved in two military coups. We were filming an outreach, medical outreach, in two different African countries when they were undergoing a military coup. So, yeah, we were threatened with arrest. In fact, one of my camera guys was thrown in prison. That's not a pleasant experience. And we fortunately were able to get him out. But it's a testament to the fact that there are some wonderful organizations doing some amazing work in some really tough places in the world. And we're hired very often to go film what they're doing and help them tell that story.
Well, that's great to know, because all that we do with our little homeschool companion show and Education Currents is we promote nonprofits. And we know about a lot of these nonprofits are the orphan program in Africa and South America. We're involved with that. And they do need their story told.
They do.
They do. Now, it says that you've done a couple of books. Jolt, Get the Jump on the World That's Constantly Changing.
Yeah.
And that shares your secrets of making today's culture of disruption and change work for you. Yeah. We could spend a whole show on that.
Trust me, we could. We're undergoing the fastest rate of change at any time in history, and people just aren't keeping up very well.
Yes.
And so Jolt is really about how to understand how these changes are happening. If I'm a school teacher, if I'm an administrator, if I'm a business leader or a ministry or a nonprofit leader, how in the world do I understand the changes in technology and the culture and things that are going on? So it's a very important issue today.
Right.
Particularly in education.
And if you don't understand it, you're going to be left behind.
Completely.
And the ministry is going to suffer, and your mission isn't going to be accomplished.
So true.
This is important. Then the other book is One Big Thing, Discovering What You Were Born to Do.
I'm really passionate about that, Rose.
That's cool.
After 35 years working with these ministry and nonprofit organizations, I noticed that the ones that do extraordinarily well, the ones that really cut through the clutter and get noticed and reach donors and do great work, are organizations that aren't the ones that are pretty good at a lot of things. They're organizations that are extraordinary at one big thing. That's how they get noticed. And so I thought, what about people? What about us? Could that apply to us? And I wrote the book One Big Thing based on that concept. And I discovered that how we get noticed, you may have a passion for a film or write a book or make a movie or launch a school or a nonprofit or a business. How do you find donors? How do you find customers? How do you find investors? How do you get on the radar? And I discovered that the key is stop trying to do everything on the average jack of all trades, and start doing one thing extraordinarily well. So the book really helps you figure out what that one big thing is, and then how to get that one big thing out there. So it's kind of interesting. I'm fascinated.
I'm just awestruck, absolutely awestruck. I often get accused of scope creep, meaning that
Yeah.
I go in this scope. I go, my scope goes that direction, then it goes that direction, then it goes that direction. But
so true.
We really do need to prayerfully and introspectively look at what God has called us to do that.
I'll tell you this, Rose. Research study after research study is telling us today that all multitasking does is helps us do a lot of things badly. Mm. We're just not wired to multitask. Human beings are not created that way. They're not wired. We're wired to focus. And so rather than trying, and women especially know about multitasking because women do so many things and they're put in these situations. But the truth is, to do something well and to really get it out there, we need to relearn the art of focus, which is harder than ever in the age of iPhones and Blackberries and Androids. We're always being distracted. So it's an art form.
Well, this is like a paradox. You have a book about getting the jump on the world that's constantly changing, and then now you're saying focus, focus, focus.
Well, that's a part of the key. Come on, that's part of the key. I think we need to have a therapy session with you, Rose. Let's just talk about your distraction problems.
Okay, so, but really what we're going to talk about today, after I tell you about where all he lectures, is your third book. Okay. Is this your third book?
Unique.
Yes.
Telling your story in the age of brands and social media.
Yes, and the reason you really need to pay attention to this man is because he's lectured in universities like Yale, University of California at Berkeley, UCLA. You're an adjunct. Currently an adjunct professor at King's University in Los Angeles. So here today, my listeners get all of this valuable information just for listening.
Hey,
praise the Lord.
Consultants pay me a lot of money for what we're talking about right now.
That is right. So now we're going to talk about unique.
Sure.
Telling your story in the age of brands and social media. Very fascinating. We're living in a media-driven culture.
That's so true.
So you're saying that as a Christian, I need to know about this.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm pumped. Well, you know, probably most of the people listening right now have a dream in their heart. They have a vision. They feel like God's given me an idea for a nonprofit organization or, like I said earlier, writing a book or making a movie or launching a business. But they have no idea how to get started because we live in the most distracted culture in history. I have DirecTV at home on my satellite, and I have 500 channels.
Yes.
And we discovered at our company that in that world, most people take 2 to 3 seconds to decide what channel to watch. So the point is, no matter how great your idea is, if you can't get it noticed, you failed. So unique is really about how to get your story out there, how to get that vision that you have in your heart that you've been carrying for so long, how to get it noticed and get it understood by people that can help you make that dream happen. And it's more important now than ever.
Well, you know, the traditional Christian might think, you know, it's a sin to even worry about branding.
Well, that's true. That some people do. And, you know, we've always taken that noble sounding route about I'm just going to let the Lord promote me.
Yes.
My feeling is the stakes are too high today. People simply have so many choices that it's time for us to step up. And, you know, I believe God opens doors. I believe God opens windows and cracks. And if I see a bit of light, I'm going to head toward it. But I think it's the gospel is so important. Our values are so important that we need to get out there and get that story told. So I don't think it's a matter of being prideful. If God has given you an idea, I think you're not serving Him by trying to get that idea heard. So I just really believe that people need to step up, get it out there, because trust me, in today's culture, there's plenty of competing voices they can listen to.
Okay, so we're just going to go down these bullet points. The influence of a compelling brand.
Yeah, a brand is not something to be scared of. A brand is simply a compelling story that surrounds a person or a product or an organization. You have a brand. I have a brand. Oprah has a brand. A school has a brand. Starbucks or Nike has a brand. It's simply, what do people think of when they think of you? And in today's culture, where there's so many choices, they need something easy to grasp onto, something that initial perception. I tell people when they go into Barnes & Noble, there are thousands of books calling my name. But what is that title, that cover design, that thing that'll catch my eye, that'll make me walk over and grab that particular book and pull it off? Because again, there's a lot of books in Barnes & Noble that are terrific books, but there's only a couple that I'm going to really notice. And so getting noticed in this cluttered world really matters today.
I am, as I'm listening to you, I'm seeing all of the dots connecting. Jesus Christ on this earth used the technology that was available at that time. He, of course, you know, could have done whatever he wanted to do, but he used the technology of that time, which was storytelling and walking from village to village. He branded
He did very well.
He did a very good job of branding.
Well, you know, when you think about it, he came into the earth in a different way than people expected. They wanted a king. He came in a manger. Mm-hmm. He preached a different message than they expected. They wanted a revolutionary, and he preached this thing about love and forgiveness and grace. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when his disciples were ready to defend him with a sword, he told them to put it away. He even controlled his interrogation by Pilate by deciding which questions to answer and which not to. So at every stage of his life, he controlled his influence. He wanted to influence. He wanted to control that perception. So I think we could do no less. We need to really think about that.
So now we've talked a little bit about the power of perception. What, for my listeners, what can they do right now about telling their story?
You know what? If you just go back to your illustration, which was so brilliant. If you look at the life of Jesus, he spent his life where the people were. And he was in the marketplace. He was in the temple square. He was at social gatherings like weddings. Today, where are the people? They're in social media. They're online. They're in front of a TV or listening to a radio or a podcast. So the question is, where are the people that need to hear your message? And I'm a big believer that social media is not just about telling people I'm having a latte at Starbucks. You know, yes. Forget that. I don't care that you're having a ham sandwich at Denny's. I want some insight. I want some encouragement. You can use social media in a way that shares your brand story. What's the thing that you're the best in the world at? What is that message that you have? Use social media to tell those things. Let people know what it's like to be you. And you'll be surprised at how many people want to follow.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we'll talk some more about social media, branding imperative. That sounds so earnest, and the future of branding our faith. We'll be right back.
Hey, my name is Sheridan. I like to give tips and advice off of information. Most of us want to get good grades, so I researched on tips on how to increase your knowledge when you study to get better grades. Here are the two tips. 1. Listening to Mozart when you study is a good way to get better grades. It is scientifically proven when listening to Mozart, it increases your knowledge. 2. A pastor once told me that it's good to have a devotional with God before you study for a test or anything. God will help give you the wisdom and knowledge when you simply just spend a little time with Him, and that is a wonderful way to study.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. Welcome back. I'm talking with Phil Cook. And Phil, I forgot to ask you if there's a website supporting your books.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Our listeners could go and check out.
You can. My blog is philcook.com. I'm one of those strange cooks with an E on the end, so it's philcooke.com. It's actually a blog, and you can find out information about my books there. But my blog is about the intersection of faith, culture, and the media. How do we, as Christians, live out our faith in today's incredibly distracted and disrupted culture? How do we tell our story? And so it's. I love people to come onto the blog and talk about my stories. I wrote a story today on my blog that I showed new research that indicates seniors that are using social media have a 25% better memory. And they think it's because figuring out Facebook and figuring out Twitter makes you really think.
Yeah.
And so they're really finding hard evidence that social media is really helping people enhance their memory as they get older. So there's some interesting possibilities there. Right. I'm going to need it. I can tell you that.
Yes. Well, my dad's really good with Facebook, and he's 80. Going to be 85 here.
Wow.
In March.
Well, I'll tell you this, the fastest growing segment for iPhones, iPods, and that kind of digital technology are senior citizens. We think it's all 20 somethings out there, but the truth is 65 and older people watch as many videos online as 20 somethings. So it is now, it is not a thing of the old folks versus the young folks. Technology is invaded everywhere, and we're all using it, and we all need to get on board.
And I love the idea. It almost sets that conservative Christian free. It almost sets them free to say, look, it's not evil. It's a tool that can be used to forward the gospel, and that's what it's all about.
I have a friend who's a media director for a local church in Los Angeles. She has counseled women who have suffered from eating disorders in Europe. She's led women to Christ in Africa. She's helped girls that were trying to escape from sex trafficking in the Far East. through social media. She connects with these people online, and what a witness, what a powerful tool. I have about 21,000 people following me on Twitter, which means I'm the pastor of one of the largest churches in America.
That's right.
You know, when you think about it in terms of influence, social media is a powerful tool for sharing your faith or sharing your ideas or your vision with a lot of people. So it's a very serious thing when you think about it.
Wow, I'm left speechless almost. Well, tell me a little bit about your personal life.
Sure. I am a preacher's kid, but I never had one shred of a moment's desire to be in the pulpit, maybe because I saw the behind-the-scenes world. No, I'm teasing. But I was a film student in college, and I came from a background of directing films and television. And I'm married, live in Los Angeles. We have two daughters. I would have liked a son, but the risk of three daughters was too great, so we quit. I'm a coward. But I have two wonderful daughters. Both are married. And one daughter and her husband are musicians. The other daughter and her husband are actors. So I'll be poor for the rest of my life. But they're extraordinarily talented. We love them. It's great. And I'm just very, very passionate about influence. How can we, two levels, Rose. Number one, how do we, as people of faith, influence the culture? You know, I'll tell you something interesting. In the UK this year at Christmas time, they took a poll of the top 10 most desired Christmas gifts from kids. What kids wanted the most for Christmas. Number 9 on the list was a dad.
Aww.
Now, that breaks your heart, and you realize we need to influence that culture. Families are falling apart out there, so how do we, as people of faith, influence the culture in a positive way? And then the way that happens is the second level, which is how do we individually influence people in our job, in our community, in our family? So I really want to help Christians and people of faith and virtue and morality, people that really want to care about the culture. I want to help them learn how to influence people around them, because that's how we change the world.
Amen. Amen. So the future of branding faith. Let's finish the show with
sure.
that. The future of branding faith. Where is it going?
I think we're going to understand that telling our story matters, and we need to be able to understand and influence our perception in a really quick way. It sounds kind of trite, but the truth is, no matter how great your message is, if nobody's listening, we failed. And I think as believers, as people of faith, as educators, we need to think in terms of how we can change our perception so people, you know, I'll give you a good example. There are church names out there. I went by a church the other day. It was called Hygiene United Methodist Church. Now, I'm sure those are wonderful people, but how many people drive by that church sign and think, why would I want to go to Hygiene United Methodist Church? Names matter. And names in a culture where we have a lot of choice, names matter. So those instant perceptions, I think we need to think more about. And if we can do that in our book titles and the titles of our schools and our projects and our programs, those initial types of perceptions, there's a lot of areas that I talk about in my book, Unique, where we can start shaping perceptions to make people want to hear our message.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of our show. We so much appreciate everything that you're doing. I want to just remind our listeners, the book that you are now, that your latest book is called Unique, Discovering the Key to Sharing Your Compelling Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media. And you can join in the conversation
absolutely.
At philcook.com.
Absolutely.
And they can also probably join your Twitter.
My Twitter is at Phil Cook, PhilCooke. I'd love for people to join me on Twitter. It's fun, and we talk about some interesting stuff.
Amen. Amen. Well,
and by the way, can I say I've had a great time? You ask great questions. You know, I was telling someone the other day, sometimes you'll be interviewed, and it's an interview. Other times you're interviewed by somebody who's a real pro, and it's a conversation. And we've had a great conversation, so I just want to tell you that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I haven't had anybody ever share that, but I appreciate it, that coming from you. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion. Or partner with us, send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162.